Hi, guys.
Hey, everyone. How's the week been?
Hello.
Rainy, man. Rainy and cold.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the cold.
It was snowing in Temecula, I think, earlier this week. Just like absurd weather recently.
I'm driving through Rancho Bernardo, and you can see just the hills are just covered with snow. It's like, that is not normal for San Diego, man.
Especially in February. March, good God.
Yeah, a buddy of mine actually texted me a picture he took from my mother's Facebook, and he's like, yo, bro, it's snowing in Temecula.
I'm ready for summer.
I'm ready for daylight savings.
Ready for the dog beach.
Yeah. I need another hour of daylight so I can get everything done. Because once it gets dark, it's like, screw this, I'm drinking.
It's totally unmotivating. Yeah, like you get that sundowning where you're just like, I'm done for the day.
You youngins, you'll get it as you get older. Turn to the bottle.
I'm allergic to alcohol, so that won't be happening.
Well, that's rough. You'll find the bike. Don't worry.
Now, how did you find that out, Johnny?
By drinking.
Then what happened?
Well, you know, I get the classic Asian glow. I turn red. And but the other unfortunate side effect is I get a really bad headache. So I go like drinking to fucking hangover immediately. And not only that, my entire body starts itching.
Wow, that's interesting because, like, I have very similar, like, if I just have, like, one or two beers and then just stop drinking, like, oh my gosh, I get the worst headache. I feel like crap. And it's, I don't drink, I rarely drink. And so if I'm going to drink, I'll just do, like, you know, I'll drink whiskey with Mikey in Nashville or something, you know, but, like, it's got to be an occasion. Like, I don't really come home and have drinks, but I don't have kids, and so maybe once I do have kids I'll start drinking.
Yeah, it helps that. And I just think you just don't have the tolerance. You gotta get over the hump, you know. Becoming an alcoholic's not the same as maybe some of the other drugs that are more attractive and hook you right away.
Takes dedication.
Yeah, you gotta learn how to like balance your drinking and like your intake and your drunk level and your functionability. Not that I'm an alcoholic, but once it gets nighttime, if I have anything to do, you know, pour the whiskey, baby. You know, so I'm a responsible adult till it comes time.
Yeah.
But I would just say that though, but drinking and stuff like that is a whole different ball game. Like you really got to gauge how you play. I think that actually that is the deal with any sort of you know, thing that vice that takes you out, you know.
Absolutely. And it could be sugar. It could be that you're into, like, you know, eating donuts in the morning. That could be your vice, and like you just get sucked into it. It becomes your addiction, like your habit.
Right. Everything in moderation, even moderation, though, you do have to go off the deep end sometimes. And feast and famine, you gotta sit back and not partake for a little while.
Right? I mean, you would probably know about that a little bit, considering where you've spent a lot of your life, right?
Yeah, I mean, I put my... come back to America again and put on your COVID 30 pounds. You guys all went through that though. You like sit at home and just enjoy the luxury of life. What'd you do during COVID?
Actually,
just video games and
yeah, movies? I mean, I did what all the Americans did, but what's
Netflix.
More interesting is what happened in Haiti during COVID, because you were there for that, right?
Yeah, nobody cared. So, yeah.
Nobody cared at all.
No, it was a white person problem. Say it bluntly, it was a foreigner, but they, you know, so like they all thought that they could give it to me, but I wasn't gonna like hurt them, so nobody would come. Like It was like the reverse untouchable.
What?
I guess, like, really? I didn't have the disease. Yeah, they were all for, oh, we don't want to, you know, all the Americans and the Europeans and stuff getting this thing. But we had to compete with other stuff. We have cholera and, like, I'd kill you in hours. And we have, like, you know,
they're like
mosquito-borne illnesses.
Rocks. Yeah, they're like, I'm eating rocks. I'm not too terribly worried about getting
sick. Yeah, your teeth are rotting out of your mouth because there's no dentist. And you're just cutting down all your trees to try and survive, making charcoal, making canoes, selling them, and just you burn the wasteland trying to survive. But yeah, it was different.
How long were you in Haiti for?
I lived there for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got married, had two kids, and I'm back. So that's what the coming back to, we didn't experience COVID at all. They didn't care. And it's a very, like, you know, they do kiss cheek. They don't hug or shake hands. Like, I guess guys would maybe shake hands, but, like, if you see a girl, you kiss their cheek like you would, like a French person or something. And so it was very, and then market day, we have market on Wednesday and Saturday where people come from, like, the hills and set up a flea market and sell their beans and corn or whatever, goats, whatever they got. And that's when we could get fresh meat. But that was, you know, that was like a flea market. So there's a lot of bartering interaction, you know, and stuff. And it's third world country. They didn't have time for COVID. Like I said, we had worse, there are way worse, like, diseases going on. Mosquitoes alone, malaria, dengue fever. You've heard of Zika, West Nile virus. I got chikungunya twice. It was crazy, dude. I was like, attacks your joints.
I'm sorry, but that you're like, COVID-19, I've had chikungunya, bro. That's like, and now, I don't know. Yeah, so what is it?
Well, no, so there's dengue fever. You may have heard of dengue or dengue.
Yeah.
So you've heard it. It's like D-E-N-G-U-E, but it apparently it attacks your bones. It's called, also known as bone break fever. And it makes you feel like your bones are all breaking while you're going through it. Yeah, it's real bad. Well, chikungunya is like the sister to it, and it attacks the joints. And it was that was real bad. You couldn't even roll over to pull the sheet over your body because you're like, And chikungunya, I guess, derives from hunched over in pain in some other language. So it was came over from Africa and then it island hopped through the
Caribbean.
Sounds
like it was pretty accurate as far as names go.
Right. You said
that
you
was brutal. Yeah, I got it twice, huh? I got it like mutated or something. I got it in the southern part of the country and then I traveled a lot. I got it in the northern part as well.
Now, what's the transmission of like some of those? Is it just airborne or is it contact?
Mosquito.
Oh, mosquito.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real danger in those tropics. Like malaria, right? Malaria still kills, you know, tons of people every year.
Was there a particular season where like the mosquitoes just be nuts, or was it like after a rain or something like that?
Right, there's rainy season. Instead of having like our seasons here, you would have like winter and fall and spring. They have rainy, hurricane, and dry season. It's pretty much what we go through. The rain starts in about May. Hurricane season starts about July. And then it gets dry in about December. And that's kind of what we go through. But during the rainy season, it's particularly bad.
It's an interesting life you chose to live.
Yeah.
Because
you're sleeping under a mosquito net.
Yeah, before that, you literally were just living, I mean, it's not necessarily like we lived a life of like privilege necessarily while you were here, but like we had our spot and we got by just fine. And, you know, we lived our version of luxury, you know? And so for you to go from that straight down to Haiti, where you're like building your own house and doing all sorts of stuff, like it's just a crazy cultural jump. And I remember a lot of the times, because you would have to come back for citizenship or something, right? You would have to like come back and visit the States to keep your citizenship here or something. And so you'd visit with me, and a lot of the time I'd go with Aaron or somebody to pick you up. Where? Oh yeah, Aaron. I should text him. Where's Aaron? Anyway, maybe he's dealing with his baby. But yeah, like you would come back from the States, and I just remember there's like a massive culture shock, you know. So
right, the first 4 years I was going back and forth, and then eventually I did it. I was going crazy because I would go. I'd have to come back to America, and the cultural difference was so vast, you know, going from like subsistence living and, you know, people dying that you know every day, and just hard, real hard life to you pugging, bud? Spider pug? Is that your new?
I'm inviting Aaron, bro.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, I didn't know what's going on. But anyway, subsistence living into the first world where it's and I would usually come back during holidays just to see my family and like, cause I knew it'd be gathering. So I wouldn't just come back and see America. I'd like come back and see like massive opulence, like in comparison, there's like way too much food for people to eat. Like cheese alone, like goodness, you know how hard it is to make cheese. Like I just looking around and so I was having a real hard time dealing with it. So after 4 years of doing that, I was like, I gotta pick one or the other. And just decided to move down to Haiti then lived there for the last basically straight 6 years. I came back for about total 3 weeks in 6 years. And that was only for like work purposes. I didn't even come back and see my family in California because it was just, I don't know. I had to separate. My parents came and saw me a couple times, four times.
But I wanted to go down there a few times. Am I on video again? Or am
no.
I, oh, they're bringing
a spider pug.
Hello. There we go.
No, sorry, I've been monologuing.
A total tangent, but Rebel has the hiccups right now. So I'm like, I was kind of freaking out, like looking at her, like, you okay? Like, she was just like, but I was like, are you good? But I guess she good. I think we got to do a mandatory Rebel reveal every episode too.
How old is she now?
4. Oh. Yeah. I don't know why they want to turn her into space.
Yeah. You got to get a fishbowl and put it on her head so it looks legit.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll pick her up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I'll have to get like a special Rebel cam that just like has her down in the corner all the time.
Or like a harness. That so she's like floating behind you.
Oh yeah, she would love that.
She would.
All right, guys. So
hey, what are Justin, we did you get your hair cut? I have to ask.
Good. I did not, but I was wearing a hat last week.
Oh, that makes sense. Mikey, did you get your hair cut?
No. Not in a long time. Okay. Not at least over a month.
John? Jeff? What about you guys?
I got a haircut probably towards the end of January.
Can't see it, but imagine it looks good. I like that you're sticking with this avatar right now.
Yeah.
Unable to go with video today?
I don't have a camera.
Oh, okay.
So I am unable to go to video. Ah.
Yeah, I must say that the name Ramos and the J don't really jive.
What's the best part of that WoW thing? Like, don't you guys? Oh no, that wasn't WoW. That was the
Diablo Immortal.
Diablo, yeah. Yeah, don't you have phone, John? What's wrong?
Well, I have a much nicer microphone on PC.
Well, yeah, I'd prefer to hear you clearer than see your beautiful face, but maybe we'll work up to that.
Yeah.
Face reveal. Hey, Justin, did you see the artwork the AI artwork that I put up for the last podcast?
I don't think I did. No, let me check on that right now.
That'd be great. I can send over an actual photo if you need it.
Yeah, I can just imagine Jeff just having a folder of all the naughty AI art.
You know, I showed Mikey, there was a, and it'll be, I'll post it next to this when I'm talking about this, but there was another one that I did, and I had to work on a few different versions. So it was my first time messing with the app. So unfortunately, some of us were considered female to the AI off the bat. So it came out very different looking. But Justin got those ripped abs going.
Justin, you look great, man. Definitely.
He's like,
glad you're in the middle.
You guys need to watch my back. I know coyotes do sneak up on me sometimes. Like, I need you guys to keep an eye on that.
Dude, that would be, we would definitely go viral.
You got to scream a lot. You got
taken away by coyotes? Oh my gosh. Plug the podcast if you get taken away, you know, just scream the YouTube channel name because they'll put that in the newscast for sure.
Yeah, at least that could do. No, that's fair.
Man gets dragged away by coyotes.
It'll be like the Men in Tights scene where he's like, Rama's like, well, watch my back. And then the guy comes up and punches him in the back. And then what's his name? Dave Chappelle's like, you're getting punched in the back. You know, he's like, commentate. That's what's going to happen if you get
attacked. You're getting dragged off by a coyote.
Hey, they're biting your neck.
Imagine if that happened and then Justin wins. And then he just sits right back down in the chair like nothing happened.
All bloodied up.
Professional.
Yeah, like real professional.
The guy versus the kangaroo, you know, he just like,
oh,
squares up with the coyote, takes him out, and then just returns to the chair.
Licking his Bowie knife.
I love that that was captured on video. That guy the guy punching the kangaroo in the face to save his dog.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And if you're a dog lover, it's like, it totally makes sense because that thing's got like a friggin' bicep and it's like wrenching down on that dog's neck.
I'm in a chokehold. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know people that have spent some time in like Australia. Everyone says kangaroos are total assholes. They will seek you out. They're just chaotic little shits. So, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everything in Australia is designed to kill people. So, not surprising.
Even the people. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Is it because there are, wasn't it like a prison island or something? Am I crazy or is that true?
That's what I keep hearing. I keep forgetting to fact check, but I keep hearing that. So I assume it's the case.
I mean, I think it's safe to say if you heard it online, it's probably true.
Nowadays, oh,
yeah. Everything online is absolutely 100% factually true. Fact checked by everybody.
What's Ray doing? Can you guys see my video?
I don't know. I just saw somebody run behind you.
He's out there doing his thing. Maybe I'll talk a little bit. Look at him. Do you guys see that? Right in there?
Punching bag?
That's a new punching. That's his new punching bag, dude.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Very cool. It's going at it.
Get some, Ray. Get some. Look at that. Oh, my bodyguard. Look at that. Except for I can do this.
You said you have him sign up for martial arts, right?
Yeah, he's in Swift Kick. It's the crazy monkey defense. You know, he's like doing the... I can't slap him in the face.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good.
We had him practicing yesterday. He was practicing his form on my back, which was actually pretty good. So if the kid doesn't work out, you know, in the ring, he can always work out behind the masseuse table, you know, taking care of folks.
Oh, yeah, here he is. Here he is. You want to flex for the camera? Look at this.
Oh, have to
get it. Get it. Get some. Let's go, bud.
Looking good, kid. Hell yeah.
Mm. All right. Good job.
Thank you, Papa. So we were talking about video games a little bit earlier, and is he talking about video games too?
He's putting on his robe. He's putting on his cooldown robe right now.
Yeah. So he's gonna hit the ice bath after this.
Maybe he might do the stairs. I don't know. You know, can't forget leg day.
Keep your eye on his friends. If he starts raging on you, you know,
to the ribs,
muscles, they looked pretty big.
Yeah, watch out. Nah, I think it'll be good.
It's only a matter of time before he can beat your ass.
There's got to be a martial arts that's all about, you know, not talking back.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart for you to put him in martial arts because it's all about discipline, right? And like not using it unless it's like the most necessary case, because, right, you know, eventually he's going to realize you're not a black belt and that's dangerous for you, because, you know, right? I hope you get, yeah.
He's gonna, I don't want to have to fight my teenager. And then I also have a daughter. I don't know if I said this, but, you know, I have a, he's 7, my daughter's 4. And when my daughter, I'm already that protective dad. When my daughter becomes old enough to date, she needs to have a black belt before she dates. That's the new house rule.
That's the prerequisite. So,
and, I like that.
Yeah, in order for that to happen, my son's got to go first. So then we became this karate family all of a sudden. After I had my daughter, I said, well, this is what we're going to do. So then, yeah, I think it's the same thing. You know, she'll have that discipline and be able to defend herself and be self-assured. You know, she can arm bar some dude.
Yeah, she won't have to have Ray Ray protect her. She'll just beat ass herself. I like it.
Yeah, what's like the, what's a girly karate? There's got to be like...
Girly karate. Super,
I mean, like... Yeah.
Bruce Lee style Wing Chun, like based on Wing female Chun, martial arts.
Jiu-jitsu is a good recommendation for like women with smaller frames, I hear. Judo. She's got options.
I've heard that drunken boxing is mainly the most beneficial for females.
Look into that. But it's funny how martial arts are about, supposedly about like discipline. I watch a lot of like professional fighting and you never see that reflected with like the pros. They're always just talking shit.
Well, that's like the mixed martial arts stuff where everyone fights the same.
Yep.
She should do the Brazilian one where they dance around, and then it's like cross between like kicking ass and dancing,
like break, capoeira. Yeah,
capoeira.
How old did you say she was, Mikey?
She's 4.
Okay, so like, I'm gonna go ahead and I know it's controversial. I'm still gonna back the drunken boxing. I know she's a little young, but that just means alcohol. You're gonna have to use very little amount of alcohol. It's a small investment, and now you might want to test her just in case she's got John's problem. You know, if she's allergic, that could be a problem. John could never, he would be the worst drunken boxer ever.
Yep. I would turn red, start scratching myself like a monkey, and then fall asleep.
All right. We were talking about video games, guys. And I think you guys were talking about like MMOs and stuff like that. Mikey wasn't here, so I know Mikey's got fun stuff to talk about MMOs, and I'll filibuster about what I'm playing real quick, which is I'm playing a bunch of different things. We were talking about that earlier too, which is like instead of playing just one singular thing, I'm playing like 5-6 different games, which is really unusual for me, but it's a lot of stuff that I can just jump in and play small rounds of and then move on to the next one. So I'm playing like Tetris Effect, which I'm not sure if you guys have ever played that, but it's not just like classic Tetris. It's pretty sweet. And then I'm playing Tales of Arise, which I'm not sure if Mikey or Johnny have ever played?
I am a huge Tales fan. I've played near probably like 80% of the games that have come out in the United States, minus the ones that were on PlayStation 1.
I had no idea one of them. This is a series? I had no idea.
Oh yeah, it's a long-running series, you know.
Is it like Final Fantasy where like the characters don't necessarily connect, just the world does?
Oh yeah, it's like an anthology series of games, right? Like they're all different.
Okay. Different, yeah, but this game is setting, pretty fun,
you know. And it's funny because Tales of Arise, like I beat it. It's probably one of my least favorite Tales games.
Really?
Yeah. Is I'm not sure if it's my least favorite or if it's my second to least favorite. It might be the one I like the least.
And why is that? Is it because of the gameplay?
Yeah, I mean, the Tales series, for the most part, I mean, the gameplay is actually really good. But the game has always been kind of like a very charming video game, a very comfort game, right? You know, it's kind of what you expect from, I don't know, playing or watching like Nickelodeon television shows, you know, kind of goofy, funny, but ultimately just like enjoyable to play. But the Tales of Arise game got like super serious, you know, and that's not to say that the games don't really have, you know, dark story plots or anything like that, because they definitely do. But it mostly revolves around the character interactions. Like you've seen mid-gameplay when you're exploring the map, you'll be taken into these skits, right, where the characters interact with each other.
Yeah, and I love that it's just built into the gameplay. Like, I don't love story-driven games. We talked about that last week, but like this one, because it's, I don't know, I guess I've given into this one because the story is pretty well acted, and like the voice acting is really good, and there's a bunch of different styles. Like you'll have like comic book panels pop up for certain things, you'll have anime sections, you'll have like animated video game portions, you'll have like full cinematic scenes. Like it's crazy, like all the different elements they put together.
Yeah, but like I said, for me, those skits, in my opinion, like you said, they're very comic book style with the panels, like going in and out of frame, right? But to me, those are very lifeless, right?
Okay, yeah. I mean, the other I've games only managed to put the very beginning. So.
Yeah, yeah. This is just my opinion. Like, if you're enjoying the game, that's great. But I just prefer they managed to put more personality into still images and frames in the older games, like. They would roll portraits of characters, or they would animate them just like jumping up and down or shaking side to side or something like that, right? To kind of emulate what's happening with the dialogue and with the characters. So you get a more visual of what's happening with these skits. But in Tales of Arise, there's still images, and all that's happening is people are just moving their mouths.
Yeah, I get that. And that, like, to me, that is something that, because I'm a comic book guy, I love it. So,
absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. And the fact that I've never played one of these games, and it's like honestly one of the I played. I'm still kind of in the process of playing Scarlet Nexus, which is pretty fun. But like, I'm not interested in that storyline at all. It's very stereotypical, and so I'm literally just skipping all the scenes. But as I said last week, I'm spending nothing but like time spent clicking skip, 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 skip. So just gets boring. But you're playing Final Fantasy 14 right now too, right?
More Final Fantasy 11 than Final Fantasy 14.
And like, is 11 a MMO too?
Oh yeah, it's the first MMO that Square Enix ever put out.
Okay, I guess I didn't realize
I'm playing actually on a private server called Horizon 11 or Horizon XI, you know, and their whole goal is to emulate the experience that players had like nearly 20 years ago.
So just like what they did with WoW, right?
Huh?
Just like what they did with WoW? The WoW Classic?
Pretty much the same thing, but these people, in order to avoid copyright and getting sued by Square Enix, right? Like, to emulate the game, they had to create their own code to get as close as they could, because Square Enix actually does not have the original source code from Final Fantasy XI from that long ago, because the game has been updated so much over the past 20 years that they basically just whenever they patch the game, they just rewrite what's available right before they started backing up all of their stuff, so they could, you know, potentially do a rollback or something like that if they ever needed to go back to a previous date. So none of
that's
that
really sad, actually. That's really sad that there's not like a, because there's no disc version, right? There's no
it just wasn't a thing game developers did back in the day, you know, like you print out a game, you just make all the copies of it, and then you ship it, and then whatever version of that game, that finalized version, is that's what players got. You know, there was no ever reason, like internet wasn't widely available, you didn't have day one patches for video games, so you know, once the game was shipped, that was it. Like, you don't need to really retain that code anymore, you know, because there's no reason to. And that's one of the reasons why Final Fantasy VIII famously took so long to remaster, because you know Square Enix loves to remaster all their Final Fantasy games, because that's just like how they make a buttload of money. But they also did not have the code for that game because they just threw it out.
Jeez, man, that's crazy. Yeah, it's gonna make a that's gonna be a big problem with remasters and stuff in the future.
Yeah, the same thing did happen with World of Warcraft. They only had up to like a certain patch. They had the original disc, but then they had patched it so many times, like they had put in battlegrounds and they had done so much stuff that was just an online download. They didn't have all the original versions of the battlegrounds and stuff. And so they just had to pick a patch later down the line and say, all right, this is original classic. So there was like things like gear and whatnot, and just there wasn't just the min-maxing, but there was a lot of stuff that was released earlier than it should have been, just because the patch was later than some of the early content. So it took like four or five phases for the game play to actually catch up to the gear. Like, we were all outgeared for like the first four phases, and it was just because they didn't have the original like pre stuff. Yeah. But I played the original classic WoW, and then I skipped the Burning Crusade, and now I'm playing the Wrath of the Lich King right now, and we're in the second patch out of three. It's pretty fun. I'm having a good time. 25 man raids.
I still remember playing Wrath of the Lich King day one when it originally released back in like, was it 2008 or something like that?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I was playing with two of my buddies. And that was a lot of fun, actually. You know, I bought two monster cans just to stay up all night to play.
Oh, yeah, it's like the patch they got it right, in my opinion, right? Because I didn't really care. First one was good, but they were just, you know, it was coming off some of the other MMOs that were going off at that time, like what was it, Ashran's Call into EverQuest and some Ultima Online, all that stuff was real grindy and like taking time waiting for mob spawns, like it was a lot more of a mess. And World of Warcraft was the first one that came out that like put the seams together. All the zones, there wasn't loading time between zones, and you know, everything was more accessible. It was a lot more quest based instead of grinding based, and it was just a lot more fun of a game. But you know, there's still a lot of the remnants of those older games in the first one. So in the first iteration of World of Warcraft, the original, and then I think they honed it down by the third expansion, and then it started getting, you know, taken over and overproduced, and you know, all the classes became the same. You know, how they homogenization of all the different, you know, classes. Like, oh, why do they get a stun and we don't get a stun? It's like, all right, we'll give you a stun too. Now everybody gets a stun in the game, and now it's not as, you know, it's not as class-based and as unique as it used to be. So right now, I think is the golden time if you were to come back. That's a lot of fun.
Do you play MMOs, Justin?
Not in a while, but I mean, that was like a staple growing up. I feel like when I seek out games, I'm always kind of holding it up to RuneScape as my gold standard. That was like crack for me as a kid. I would love to hop into an MMO. I'm just not sure like what modern options are kind of out there right now.
I mean, the big three MMOs for the last, I don't know, I'm going to say 6 years has mm-hmm. always been World of Warcraft. I guess you can kind of put World of Warcraft into two different categories of the modern retail WoW and then WoW Classic, because they're two very different games.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy 14 and then Guild Wars 2. Those are probably the three most popular. And then maybe Elder Scrolls Online, but I'm not really sure about that game. Not a lot of people talk about it.
Right. Okay. I know there's that one. And then I think New World, which was a kind of recent one. I was kind of keeping my eye on that, but most
New World's fun, but it's not a good game.
Okay, that's what I've been hearing. Yeah.
Is EVE Online still a thing?
Yes, it is a thing, but it's new. I think for EVE Online is a game for a very specific kind of player.
What's that one that was out, EverQuest, that was like before WoW, right?
Yeah, that was like the precursor, and that was like Ultima Online, and there was another one that were right before EverQuest that came up before that.
Which one has the best graphics? Astron's Call, I think. Which one has the best graphics out of all of them?
Best graphics.
Hey, you can still play those games.
New World would have the best graphics. It's the newest game.
New World?
Yeah.
But you said it sucks.
But the game's not good.
Okay, well. All right, well, what's second then, Johnny?
Second for graphics? Ooh. Maybe Final Fantasy 14? Because
it usually looks pretty good in all the scenes that I see. But
yeah, because they keep improving the game. So the depending on what your expansion you're in, like the settings and the zones that you're in will look better. Obviously, if you're playing A Realm Reborn, which is the first one, it doesn't look so great. But as you continue through your story playthrough, you'll notice all the visual uplifts as you go along. So you're kind of playing through a timeline of how the game was made. So you get to kind of experience that as your playthrough, and you're like, oh wow, this looks a lot better than like, you know, the previous expansion that you had just played through. So it's pretty cool in that aspect. So, you know, you can see all the improvements and how they're making updates to their graphics. And like, you can kind of understand that, you know, they've dropped the PS3 support so they can push the game a little bit harder. They dropped like 32-bit from PC so they can keep pushing the game forward, you know. And eventually there'll be a time when they drop the PS4. And then I don't know what the game's going to look like by then, because they are doing a complete graphic overhaul in their next expansion as well. So that game is continuing.
You're getting, Justin is getting attacked by crows, dude.
I was wondering if I was picking up on that.
Screw the coyotes. Those crows are after you, bro.
Come in the element.
They sound delicious.
That's a murder on a podcast right there. We can title that.
That's true. I was wondering if the mic was picking up on that. Yeah, okay.
out of an Edgar Allan Poe, like in real life, right here.
You know what they call a group of pugs?
What's that?
They call them a grumble, because when they're all together, it's like, you know, they like grumble. They like rumble. Like,
oh, that. Interesting.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen more than two pugs together, though.
You have not lived then, my friend. You need to go to, we go to these pug meetups and it's like 50 pugs in one place and they're all just,
oh my gosh,
going nuts. And yeah, the sound is just ridiculous. It's great.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of fun just as a bystander to watch.
Oh yeah. I mean, people show up and are, they're just like walking by and see it and they're like, I'm going to the pug petting zoo right now. Let's go in there, you know. So, it's great. And pugs are just genuinely sweet dogs, so chances of getting attacked by a pug are pretty slim.
Yeah, very rare that you have a small dog or smaller dog that's actually very cool in demeanor. Usually they're just like very easy to aggravate.
That's very true, yeah. Yappy dogs, for sure.
Yeah.
The chances that someone's died by smothering by pugs. What do you think? Think we could find that?
Probably as good as smothering by cats, which is pretty common from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, they have, what is it, the toy poodles, I think? Like, what are those really small poodles?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? They're like, they can literally fit in your palm. They're so small.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I always fear for those dogs' lives. It's like, you got to be careful where you even put your foot.
Yeah, right? I would be a nervous wreck around something that frail.
Yeah,
crazy. I think I'd rather have a rat.
Probably bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you don't have to worry about it if you accidentally kill the rat. You're like, well, yeah. I guess I'll go get another rat.
Just a rat. Now, but, I see people with rats. I saw someone at the mall with a rat on their shoulder. Seen that? It's a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been to LA before. I've seen all sorts of weird animals on shoulders. It's just pretty common practice up there.
Yeah, my one of my best friends growing up, his stepdad actually raised like a troop of performing rats. You know, I'm serious. He had like a cage, like a very big cage, and he taught them just like how to do a bunch of stuff. You know, so it was kind of crazy. They could like walk the tight walk. They had a trapeze thing that they could use. It was crazy.
They can ride a
rat pack.
They can raise a flag. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes. That wasn't something that they did, but yeah.
Jump between like distances so you can like
oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Climb a rat.
Like ring inside of the cage.
I've seen squirrels jet skiing before, but never
trapeze performing rats. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
What was the basis for that? Was that just his hobby?
I don't even know. I'm not even sure. I was too much of a kid. I was like, wow, that's really cool.
It is, but I don't know how that comes about.
I think he actually, I might just be like misremembering him, but I think he took it from like another person who actually trained the rats themselves. Like he was getting rid of him or something like that. And I feel that
he was the Gallagher too of rat.
Yeah. So they weren't his originally, but he didn't want the rats just to be like disposed of, you know? So he took them in. I think that's the story. I'll just say that's the story.
Okay.
The rats are great pets. Because they just live off anything. Like there's rat food and stuff, but you give them leftovers and stale bread and they'll eat a plastic bag, you know.
Oh whatever. Yeah. Yeah, we took them out occasionally just to like play with them. They're real chill.
Yeah, good pets. Live for a long time for like, you know, little rodents.
Yeah, I mean, people keep mice as pets, right? Like, why not a rat?
I was up in Pasadena last week, and I had some time to kill, and so I was at Party City getting Mikey's son's like wrapping paper and stuff for his gift, and next door was like a not a Petco but a PetSmart, and I walked in there, and it was like the classic. I mean, we don't have these in San Diego anymore, really, but like, or not in the area that I live, but like, it was the classic like pet store where they had all the animals in there. Mm. They had the fish, the whole fish walkthrough, where it had turtles and all these crazy animals. And so I killed a bunch of time in there looking at birds and cats and all sorts of, you know, cool animals and stuff. But I made good friends with this lizard, man. It was awesome. This lizard was chilling. We chilled. That lizard wanted to come home with me so bad. And I like looked at the price on it. It was like $80. And I was like, I might do this. But then it also said it was advanced, right? Like, as far as like care goes, like, and I've never cared for a lizard before. And I was like, bro, like, we were not meant for each other. Like, I cannot care for you. It was like this, you know, exotic lizard, but it was cool as fuck, man. It was like reaching on the glass for me. Like, I was like, bro,
it's calling for help.
Yeah.
Save me.
Yeah.
I applaud your effort to get a reptile. Those are a lot of fun.
Are you at the airport right now?
Mikey might be the Russians, bro.
Dude, Mikey's being bombed. Justin's getting attacked by crows.
I live in...
It's only episode 2. It's all falling apart.
Yeah, I live in an area. There's a bunch of military bases around here, so you always get flybys and crazy stuff. And it's fun driving down the freeway, you know, going down the 15 are right there, and you go by Miramar, and they're doing the like afterburners, and you get to see all like, and they go through Pendleton, and they're doing like, they got like the helicopters with all the dudes like flying over the freeway, and everything set up on the side for them to do training, like building outposts and stuff. And Pendleton's where, isn't that where they train the SEALs? So you get to, as you're driving, there's like this huge swath of area next to the coast in California, or on the coast, that you drive through. The freeway goes through it, but nobody lives there. It's all military base, and it's and you get to see a lot of the airplanes and military. They do convoys down the freeway and stuff.
And yeah, but actually, where we live, there's like a military base north and south of us, so we have, you know, the planes to the south, and then we've got like the big Marine base, the Camp Pendleton up there. There's a big Navy base right next to that as well. So yeah, that's massive. I actually, stuff. Yeah. And there are people who live up there too. And then right next to that, you've got the big nuclear plant. So there's just a, like, this is definitely a military city. And,
the nuclear plant?
Yeah.
The big twin titties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's decommissioned though, right?
Yeah.
It's pronounced nuclear.
Yeah. Hmm?
Is it pronounced nuclear?
I don't know. How do you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Nuclear.
Yeah.
Isn't that what I said? What'd I say?
I don't know.
I'm going to play it back because this is recorded. So I'm either going to look bad or you're going to look bad, but I'm going to edit it so that you look bad either way. You realize nice. That, right?
Yeah, let's see it. Let's see so, it. I hope you ahead. Spend all day. Yeah.
I can edit myself. I can go back and I will just pop in the right, you know, I will say instead of. I'll say
there's a president.
Instead of erectile, I'll say rectal or.
There's a pres. Are you done?
Nobody cut you off that time. You stopped yourself.
Dude, there was a president. I just knew you were going to cut me off. You're playing me, man. There was a president that said nuclear and got made fun of a lot.
Rightfully.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you tell people about our C4 in the airport? That'll definitely get the video demonetized, Mikey. You remember when we were in the airport?
Well, I think that there's certain. Well, I was just saying there's certain things like at the hotels they take off the 13th floor, and when they took out the 13th row at the airport, or like we had boarding passes, we were flying Southwest, and they give you, like, you have 24 hours before the flight you can start. You can check in, you can pre-check in, and then you get a boarding pass number. And it's like A, 1 through 60, B, 1 through 60, C, 1 through 60, or whatever, and it goes on. And so we, like both times, I don't know, it was either me or Jeff, we both got boarding pass C4. We're both, and we just had the gate, we just played this mind game back and forth the whole time to try and make the other person say, I have C4. Like, I got C4. It's like,
what C are you sitting in again, Mikey?
Hey, what's in your hand?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Hey, what does that ticket say?
Yeah. Were you sitting again?
Oh, C4. I got C4.
Oh, you're C4.
Yeah, I have C4 right
your
now.
You C4 in your hand it. There? Is that
yep.
C4? I mean, are we allowed to say that at the airport? Like, I mean,
that's not our fault. That's their fault for having the seat C4 on the plane. You know, it's like,
yeah, I'm sure you got a Homeland Security agent tailing you, right? He's like on the radio, like C4, C4.
code red. Go now, right? Go time, go.
Right. Yeah. So that was a boarding pass, but then there's definitely a C4 on the plane, right? Like,
yep.
Because they have to do the row and the seat number or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you, come on. That should be taken out. That's a 13th floor for
that's
me.
That's an oversight.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For because of people like you.
I mean, listen, they got to make rules for a reason, right? Yeah. You don't want people getting confused, and this whole world is offended by every damn thing, so we just got to make sure, you know.
But you know why they wouldn't? Because there's also people out there who would look at their ticket and they'll count the seats, right? They'll go like 1, 2, 3, and if like their seat was like in that range between like C3 and C5, and if you just took out C4, they would just sit in the wrong seat.
I think that Mikey's right, where like if you take out the 13th floor on buildings, you might as well just take out the C row. We don't need C in there. We don't need C at all.
True. Yeah, there you go. Problem solved.
Or make it like the emergency exit row. Like C4 is that blank spot. Nobody can sit. Because it's the door or something. That's kind of more dangerous. Hold on.
I mean, yeah. So we did not get in trouble, thank goodness, because we were pretty coy about it. But it was pretty fun to screw around like that. Did you guys by chance catch the Mandalorian season 3 premiere?
Did.
Johnny, you say you did?
Yep.
Sweet.
I did not.
Mm-mm.
No. Well, I'm going to spoil it for you too. No, okay. I'm just joking. I won't actually spoil it, but I will just say that like I was highly disappointed that they left their standards from like season 1. Like, and I know it's been happening throughout the seasons, but like, is that, or who's gardening back there? Is that Santa Claus? It's hard to see. You gotta say something, otherwise it won't show up, Mikey.
I can't. I'm gonna like. I was just trying to hold it. I wanted to say something. Oh, the gardening. Oh, maybe a little more.
You know, I've just stopped accepting Mandalorian as like a serious Star Wars show. It's just a Saturday morning cartoon live action show. That's all it is. Yeah,
it really is. And I think if I look at it that way, I'll probably just enjoy it more. I really love that they put the effort of all the live action effects in that first season, and there's very little CG used. And when it was used, it was, I don't know, it was used sparingly and it was used appropriately, I thought, in that first season. But even in the second season, you started seeing more and more of it. And now in this third season, we literally open with just a CG fest. And so that just, it bums me out. I love practical effects. Even if they look janky, I'd rather see that. To me, I look at like old movies that had practical effects, and it just, to me, those are the movies that hold up. You look at the old movies that had these like digital effects, and they all look terrible now. So,
yeah, that's, I think one of Marvel's biggest problems at the moment is everything is just CGI or filmed in the volume, and you can tell it hurts the quality of like their films overall.
It's got to be hard as an actor to just be surrounded by green screen and green blocks and stuff like that, and like have to just use your imagination versus like being on practical sets and like actually, you know, in the environment. I would imagine that would lend itself to a lot more just, you know, comfort.
Did you happen to watch Andor?
I still haven't, and that everybody has told me, like, if you're not loving the pace of the other shows, that that one is going to be the one that fixes that for you. So,
well, it's not the pacing that I'm suggesting to watch this show. It's the fact that the entire, like, the majority of the show is filmed on a set. So they're not using the volume at all. So they built all the sets, and, you know, maybe they use CGI to, you know, embellish on the surroundings, but it's, like, not really as obvious as the other stuff.
Right. Do they use practical effects in Picard, Mikey?
Practical effects?
Yeah. Or is it all just a CG fest?
I don't know. No idea, honestly. I don't want to say anything right now. Yeah.
Not very important to you.
Picard, no. Entertainment value. That's all I go for.
How are you liking season 3 of Picard so far?
Dude, it's really, it's turning the corner. It's like Discovery. Discovery started super terrible, just like Picard. And so season 3 actually turned the corner. It's like a throwback, but it's also their last season, so I think they're just throwing everything at it.
Yeah, I also just saw a headline that this last season of Discovery, or this coming season 5, I think, is the last season as well.
Discovery's honestly really bad. Like, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. It takes, you know, 3-4 seasons to actually start something worth watching as far as like Star Trek universe goes, and it's honestly too woke for, I think, most of the crowds. A lot of the comments and stuff, especially like Star Trek, you know, one of the things cool about Star Trek is that it looks into the future. And it kind of predicts the future of what's going on. And what happens in Discovery is they go further into the future. Like, it's not set in the Picard or, you know, Reich, you know, Shatner, the original series or Next Generation. It's not in that kind of time area. It's like the next leap forward. So it's like extra super. And so what they're envisioning has a lot of like the ideas that our culture is fighting with now, but they do things that are just, I think, that next step further. Like, they make Stacey Abrams the leader of the world. She's like the president of the world. And if you know who Stacey Abrams is a political figure in Georgia, very, I believe, polarizing. But to make her like her debut or like actress performance to put her in as the leader of the world was was just kind of like a little, you know, they're already putting some other stuff in there that are very advanced, you know, forward thinking, thoughts. But to actually take somebody from the real world and like be like, yep, you know, yeah. it just seemed a little too far.
That sounds really bad.
It's that way the whole way. Like it's all, you know, it's very like 2%, you know, population, this or 0.5% of the population. And they really bring those people to the front. And you see a lot of that. And I don't know. I love it because it's Star Trek, but at the same point, I would not recommend it to anybody because I don't think the storyline gets convoluted. It's overproduced. Discovery was the first series back after there's a huge hiatus after they did, I think Deep Space Nine or Enterprise was the last one. And those ended in the early 2000, maybe 2004 or something was the last time. So there's a huge gap between that and then Discovery, 15 years or so. And so there was a huge hunger for it. And so I believe it was just so much money got put into it, got overproduced. And then as the series are being released now, like Picard started out slow, but it kind of catches stride. But the one that is really awesome, I recommend everybody, is Strange New Worlds. If you want to get into Star Trek at all, and it's very episodal, you could just watch one episode, you know, go on to IMDb and just to be like best episode of Strange New Worlds and just watch the whatever they recommend. It's very episodal like that. You don't have to watch the whole series. It's so in that feel, it's like old school Star Trek. And it's like, oh, it's so good, man. So Strange New Worlds, they're finally catching that stride. And I feel like all the series are in line with that, with the Picard, and then Discovery is actually kind of, you know, getting better and more Star Trek-y, I guess.
I got a quick question. Do you happen to watch the Burnett Network YouTube channel at all?
No. What's it called again?
The Burnett Network.
No, I don't. But
run by one Robert Meyer Burnett. You might enjoy him. He's like a huge Star Trek aficionado. Like he's worked on like doing these specials for, you know, the physical media releases of the thing. And he's been very critical about Star Trek since the first J.J. Abrams movie, you know, and he does not like where the series is headed, but he's also praised season 3 of Picard. He rates it very highly among like the past 10 years or so of Star Trek. So you might find enjoyment in like his work or his channel.
Yeah, I think a lot of like the real hardcore Star Trek fans don't care for the J.J. Abrams movies too much as far as canon goes. Entertainment value and bringing people into the Star Trek, like as a gateway to get into the Star Trek universe, I think that those are good. But as far as like canon and whatnot, it's not this. They go off a different timeline. And so it's not, I know it's a little odd, I guess, as a huge Star Trek fan to really, really love them.
Yeah. Star Trek, I grew up on Star Trek as well, but I wasn't necessarily like a big fan of Star Trek. I just enjoyed watching it a lot. So I'm not really in the camp of like, oh, I really hate what Star Trek has become. I just view it as entertainment. Like, that's how I watch it.
Yeah, I think it is the same with like Star Wars. It's like, it's Star Wars, I'll watch it. Just because I like the world. You know, I like the universe, and there'll be something in there that I like. And if there isn't, maybe skip forward. But, you know, put it on a side screen and at least enjoy, you know, that you get some new content.
What are you thinking right now as far as Last of Us goes, John? You watching that?
Oh, yeah, I do. I watch it. I watch it on Wednesdays with a friend of mine. We just do a group watch. You know, nice. That's how I watch a lot of like these shows. So, you know, I have someone to bounce my ideas off of after the show's ended. So, you know, I can kind of hone in on what I think about the show and the episode overall, which is cool. I'm really enjoying the show. I didn't really care for this last episode. I felt Same. It was like really unneeded.
Same.
Just took an episode up. It's like everything that we needed to advance or get to see the state of mind of Ellie was all put into like the last 15 minutes of that episode. We didn't need like a 45, 50 minute episode on this. So
I like, totally agree. I think that they could have, I don't know. And it was a really short episode too, which sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not terribly thrilled with this. This is the second episode out of all of them that I'm like a little wishy-washy on. Like I spoke last podcast about is it episode 3 that they
Yeah, the Bill and Frank episode.
Yeah, which I said on the last episode was a great episode, but definitely took away from that main storyline that we all want to see more of. So
yeah, that's how exactly I felt as well. But yeah, at least episode, they kind of tied it to the main story, right? It's like Joel's finally found a new purpose, right? Like shifting from just being a handler of cargo to like seeing Ellie more as somebody to actually protect, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think I love a lot about the show, but yeah, it's a bummer when you don't get that forward progression that you want to see from the show. So
yeah,
hopefully we'll see a little bit more of that as we go. And
there's only 2 episodes so far, left.
Yeah, I know. We'll see. I mean, I'm going to cancel my HBO as soon as it's over.
Better watch all the DC movies again before you cancel it. Or at least their animated stuff. It's really good.
I haven't seen any of it. I've seen some of the classic stuff, you know, but none of the more modern. You should watch the Harley
Quinn show if you haven't.
Animated?
Yeah. It's so freaking funny.
Okay. Are you watching anything right now, Dustin?
No, the only thing I really watched this week would have been UFC 285 last night. Big like sports guys, so like watching people try to kill each other, that's always fun. But I'll second John's recommendation. I love like DC's animated stuff, and I do hear the Harley Quinn show is, John, what is that, like season 2 by this point?
3.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I hear that one's really good. I've seen bits and pieces. And then I think the guy that does the voice acting for Batman, that's Dierdich Bader, I want to say.
I have no idea. Okay. Well, I don't know who the talent behind the characters are.
Okay. Because I think I recognize his voice. He's from another animated Batman show where it's like the whole thing's like an homage, like the Silver Age of comics. Like it can't be kind of like Adam West style. I really like their animated stuff. Is most of it on HBO?
I think all of it's on HBO.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely you
pick up to watch.
You said that you watched UFC. Who was the big fight in that?
The main event was John Jones versus Cyril Gane. And actually, it was amusing for a number of reasons. So John Jones, notorious guy.
Yeah, like I thought he was banned.
Yeah. He was for a bit, but I don't really know what happened. He came back, moved up a weight class, and then the fight itself was really amusing because it ended in round 1. And what happened was the fight starts. Cyril Gane kicks John Jones in the balls. The fight gets stopped. And then like about a minute later, the fight ends because John Jones just kicks his ass. He literally just shows up, kicks him in the balls, and that was the fight. Never seen anything right. like it. Waited all night to watch it. Very fun.
Okay.
Oh, man.
You okay, Mikey? Yeah, well, I think I don't have a whole lot to talk on the music section for this week, but you did say you're a big sports guy, and I'd love to just talk just 2 seconds about the Padres, because... Holy moly, they look amazing this year. And I'm not a big sports guy. So last year was my first year following the Padres, like aside from just like growing up in the city and going to games. And like Tony Gwynn used to come through the restaurant that I worked at like almost every game. So like I knew Padres and I knew the history and stuff, but I never like really followed sports ever until last year. My wife got season tickets for us and we went, and then we re-upped the season tickets this year. And man, it's like, I feel so lucky because we literally have like the best team in the league right now. It's pretty amazing. I don't know if any of you guys, I know Mikey likes Padres, but do you follow baseball at all? Are you interested?
Yeah, passive. I follow like every sport at least like a little bit. And yeah, you picked a very good time to start like tuning in. Like you said last year, like, yeah, that's when they started taking over. And it's been like ridiculous since. And I don't know, in San Diego, we're not really used to like sports success. Like this is pretty new for us, I would say.
Right. Yeah. That the only thing historically I've ever known about the Padres is disappointment, you know, aside from like just liking the personalities here and there. But yeah, just awesome. And we'll have to jump to a game one of these days. That'd be a lot of fun. Like get everybody to go out to a game because I do have tickets.
Yeah, I've been to Petco Park a couple of times with my cousin to watch the Padres. You know, I'm not really an avid sports watcher, but I do enjoy just going to the stadium and just chilling out and watching the game. That's always fun.
Right. Yeah, I think the park is just such a fun environment. We're lucky because we got a really nice one. And when my wife first got the season tickets, it was not something I was interested in putting our funds towards, because I was like, how are we going to go to that many games? And like, you're going to have to find people to go with you, because I don't want to go to that many baseball games. And it's like, you got to drive all the way downtown, you find the parking, pay for parking. It's just the rigmarole. And if you're going every week, every game, it's just exhausting, right? But I found out when you have season tickets, you essentially sell a good amount of them to kind of make back the money on the season tickets, right? And then I just started getting obsessed with going to the games, like started following it. Like I used to do the chant, like, let's go Nachos, because that was the only reason I went to the park was to get nachos. I was a huge fan of Nachos and a decent sized fan of baseball back then. But now I just love it. It's just so fun. And like you said, I'm just lucky that I jumped in when I did, right? So
do they still serve like their ice cream cones that are like a foot high?
Yep. Yeah. The little like, I don't know, Tasty Freeze or something like that. One of those. Yep.
That's nuts.
They're all cashless now. That's the one crazy things about a ballpark is you got to go with your card and no cash. And even the vendors walking around like selling Cracker Jacks. No cash.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's crazy.
But you guys order through the app. Yeah.
But yeah, we have our ballpark app that we use. So yeah. But that's crazy. Yeah, I guess I've never tried to pay for something with cash there. But
yeah, fully cashless community there. That's interesting.
We went for, they had like an opening. It wasn't opening day. It was fan appreciation day or something. Like they have a bunch of old merchandise and just like extra merchandise that they have. And it's like, they're selling it for like a dollar. It's like really cheap. And so historically, you know, a couple thousand people will show up and buy up all the merchandise, and you get to walk around the park and take pictures with the players and stuff. This year, holy crap, like it was obviously my first year, but we went and it was just shoulder to shoulder people. Like I go to festivals, I go to rock shows, I've been in mosh pits. I was so uncomfortable with this amount of people. It seemed like if a disaster were to happen, we would definitely all like trample each other. We were just, it was thousands and thousands and thousands of people just crammed into a small space. It felt so unsafe. Like,
wow.
We went, we got like our little capture the moment from the last season, like, you know, memorabilia book. And then we were just like, let's go get breakfast somewhere else.
Now, is the popularity of the Padres this year just due to them performing very well in the season? Or is it like there's players that people just want to watch?
It's a little bit of like, so baseball is getting more and more interesting because they're changing rules when it comes to baseball. So like over the past like 3 years, they've made rules, like changes to the rules that makes it much more interesting to watch on TV and in person. For instance, this year, one of the things that they're doing it on purpose to make it more interesting to the average person. You know, we live in a TikTok society where people have no attention span. So now there's like a pitch, there's like a pitch clock, what's like 15 seconds for pitchers to throw their pitches. Back, you know, just last year, you'd wait sometimes 5 minutes to get like somebody, you know, struck out or whatever it was. It just, so this will definitely improve the, you know, the quickness of the games and the interest, I think, from fans. And then, yeah, fair weather fans, that's always been San Diego. They just, anytime a team's doing well, they jump on the bandwagon. And I guess I technically am one of them. I just did it kind of not knowingly, you know. So
San Diego's a baseball town too. I think that's a good classification. Yeah. We had a football team, but nobody went. Yeah. We had like a really winning soccer team, the Sockers, and we had a hockey team, the Gulls. They were pretty good. Like they were like, I think Sockers were like the winningest team in all of San Diego history, but nobody ever went, you know, indoor soccer team. Do we still have
the ice hockey team?
The Gulls? I don't know.
I think we have somebody else now, but that just goes to show, you know, nobody knows because nobody really follows it. So we have, what's, is it called Snapdragon Stadium, the new one that they just put up where Qualcomm was. It's a little bit, I don't know, it's nice, but I don't even know like the teams that play there.
SDSU maybe, huh?
That, yeah.
That's it.
No, I still can't believe they tore down Qualcomm Stadium. That's crazy to me.
I know.
Yeah, Jeff, there's a lot of history.
Season tickets for the Padres, you guys wound up selling a decent amount to kind of like recuperate some funds there. Like, what percentage of games do you guys think you wound up like attending in total?
Probably, I want to say, because we went to a lot, but we also sold a lot. So I'd say we went probably like 45%. It would be a fair judgment because the ones that we didn't sell, like if there were nights where it just didn't work out, and then we would just, you know, hand them off to like Mikey and Ray Ray and they'd go down.
Dude, we had so much fun. We had so much fun. Every time you're going to go, I'll bring my kid. And he just like, ambiance for him, right? He don't know what's going on. He didn't, runners, strikes, balls, whatever. So you got to pump it up, you know, you got to turn it up, drink a couple beers and start doing the chants and shouting and stuff and, you know, get him involved. So, you know, the end result was like just awesome, awesome evening.
Is there anything in Haiti that would be an equivalent as far as like the amount of people getting together like that?
I was at Carnival. And it's that shoulder to shoulder critical mass, just like when people start moving, you move with them, and you know, everything in your pockets gets robbed, and you know, you just, dude, it was crazy, super crazy, because no rhyme or reason, no police, no, just tons and tons of people late at night, lots of moonshine, rum, you know, a lot of like feral people coming from all over. They're just out of control. Dude, Carnival in Haiti is not like Carnival anywhere else. They build these huge floats. Like they take like a double decker bus and then they deck it all out, all huge and everything. And then a band will play on it, popular band. And the popular bands there, it's only like, it's a small island, like 10 million or 7 million, 10 million people. You know, so it's a small island, but they have they're all like, they speak the same language, which is unique to them. So they have their own artists that sing the songs, that sing their language. And there's a certain style of music for carnival music. And it's, in my opinion, just really bad. I mean, somebody likes it, but it's real high, fast beats per minute. The the stops and the lyrics and stuff are really shake your booty, grind it out, like it's all super sexual or whatever. And then anyway, they do these huge floats and the floats like slowly move down and it's like a parade, right? There's a bunch of space between each float and they slowly move down the road, but then everybody's in the road, right? Nobody's, you know, it's not like they have a road to go down. They just kind of know where it is. And like people get run over and fall off the floats and get drunk and pushed off. And one time happened time after me. So I was in the Capitol at one time and we did this. And I'll never go back, but it was, I mean, of course not now, but it was like a one-time experience. I was a festie. I love going to these things. I was like, let's go, you know, all like, let's party it out and just have a good time. And time after that, there was an artist in one of these big floats. And there's these guys that were supposed to push up like the high tension line. Like they have a stick as the floats go by, they like push up the high tension power lines. And they didn't do it and it got caught and broke the high tension power line, fell down into the crowd of people with just critical mass, right? Hit the bus too. 19 people died instantly. The artist, his name is Phantom. He got electrocuted, lost like all his fingers and like all burnt out and crazy and stuff. Just like when I say it was just like critical mass, people do what they want. Like it was just like people hanging off the side and just it was just out of control. Like every building, every car full of people. Like if there was a crane, people like up on like the arm of the crane, like up on top and just like, just exactly what you, I guess, kind of expect when just there's no room to go anywhere. So they just kind of like build up, get on the roofs and stuff. But yeah. And then they ended up canceling Carnival. So Carnival is like Mardi Gras, basically the weekend before. So they just had it in Haiti. It's a bit more tempered now and more voodoo with the rah-rah, which is like pickup bands, pickup parade, basically. Like a band will just start marching down the street, like people like drumming and like blowing on bamboo, like blah, blah, like didgeridoo style and stuff. And people come out and like join up. And then eventually as they're walking down the road, they'll just be like hundreds of people and traffic can't get through. And they just block the road and they slowly move through. And it's called rah-rah and happens, you know, the weekend or so before Mardi Gras. And then Mardi Gras it's a very Catholic nation. It's also voodoo, right? So they do that both. But then Mardi Gras is the day before Lent starts, which is the 40 days before Easter, which is a Catholic holiday season. And so so they party it out pretty hard. And so, yeah. And they used to have epic parties, in the Catholic.
Yeah, it seems like a crazy place to party with very little rules. Yeah, that's nuts, man. I mean, when I'm walking through the stadium, I don't have to worry about cables falling down and like destroying people. That's intense, man.
Oh, everything. People throwing rocks and bottles and, you know, it's just, you got to watch. You really watch out what you're doing. Lighting fires and just got to be careful.
Crazy. Well, unfortunately, we got to go. But thank you guys for cruising out and we'll try to get back together next week.
Yeah, it's 2:30 already.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming, Johnny.
Yeah, like man. Said,
everybody's more than welcome. So come on back.
All right. Yeah, it's true. Cause if we don't go, we can't come back.
He said the thing. Wait, no. Yeah, don't say anything after it.
Oh wait.
That ruins it if you do that.
Oh, wait, you want me to do it again? That's the thing, by the way.